Thank you for coming. I'm Michael Green. I am the Senior Advisor and Japan Chair here at CSIS and also an Associate Professor at Georgetown University School of Foreign Service. We are delighted to have with us today the shining expert on Japanese domestic politics. Many of you know his writing if you subscribe to the Oriental Economist. If you don't, you should. Peter Ennis, the editor, is here, so he can show you how to get a subscription. Takao Toshikawa began writing in 1970 for the Weekly Post, but has done a variety of jobs since then. A somewhat, actually quite unique journalistic career in Japan, writing for not only the Weekly Post, but Mainichi, other journals. He's written half a dozen books on Japanese politics, the secret story of the Ministry of Finance about U.S.-Japan alliance relations. And in 1993, he founded Tokyo Inside Line, which in both Japanese and English is really the insider's monitor of Japanese political developments. I'm trying to think of the American counterpart. The Drudge Report would not be a fair comparison because it's... The Tokyo Inside Line has extremely careful, thoughtful analysis. So I'm not sure what the right parallel is. There may not be one. National Review, perhaps. But in any case, it's the place you go when you want to know who's up, who's down, who's winning, who's losing, and not just in the blow-by-blow, day-to-day sense of Japanese politics, but in the grand sweeping history. How does Shinzo Abe's politics flow from his grandfather, Kishi Nobusuke, and that kind of larger context. So we're very glad Toshikawa-san could join us to help us preview the Japanese upper house election. We're going to use this kind of Taidan discussion formula inspired by the Actors Studio, if you've ever seen that on PBS. We did this once with Jerry Curtis from Columbia on Japanese politics. It was a good format. It was a lot of fun. So I'll throw a few questions at Toshikawa-san to get us going, and then we'll open it up to the floor. I should also take this opportunity to mention, I saw Bruce Klinger, I thought, come in, but we'll predict, and then Heritage will tell you what happened. On the 30th? 31st of July at what time?
2 o'clock at Heritage.
2 o'clock at Heritage. I hope that was an open event. Good. And it is now. And try to make sense of what happened in the election, because I think the odds are it will not be, we'll learn from Toshikawa-san, but I think the odds are it will not be a clean outcome, that we're going to have a somewhat muddy situation in Japanese politics for a little while. Everyone probably knows Yuki Tatsumi, who's agreed to help translate and Mr. Toshikawa's answers to the questions. Let me... First of all, welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Let me start by just asking you, Toshikawa-san, to bring the audience up to date. What is this election?
Mm-hmm.
It's the upper house, but why does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think is going to be the outcome?
Okay. まず簡単に今回の参議院選挙の意味付け、位置付けを説明したいと思います。
Let me first start by... try to position where this upper house election stands in the Japanese overall political context.
ここにおられる方はほとんど日本問題の専門家ないしは準専門家なので詳しく説明する必要はないと思いますが、簡単に言いますと、まず参議院選挙はご承知のように、政権選択選挙ではありません。
Of course, many of you who are here today are either the expert of Japanese politics or semi-expert. So I will cut out the unnecessary details here. But as many of you know, let me just reiterate that the upper house election is not about the choosing the government.
したがって選挙の公示前から、政権党の自民党と公明党が今回参議院選挙で、相当厳しい戦いをするであろうと見られていたがゆえに、とりわけ政府関係者、官邸関係者、自民党の党役員たちは今回の参議院選挙はいわばアメリカの中間選挙と同じようなものであるということを言い募り始めました。
And because of the very nature of the election, even before the official notification of the election date, LDP party leadership and Komeito, the coalition group's leadership, knowing that the prospect for them are not good for this election, kept giving out the message that this election is more like the midterm election in the United States.
したがって今回の選挙は、事実上の、まあ、中間選挙であるという前提でこれからの私の話を聞いていただきたいと思います。
So as such, I just wanted you all to have that in mind. The context is that in Japan, this election is positioned somewhat like a midterm election.
しかしながら、過去20年間の参議院選挙は、これまで6回ありました。この6回の参議院選挙の中で、皆さんもすでに、関心をお持ちの過去との比較で言えば、89年の宇野宗佑政権時代の参議院選挙と98年の橋本政権下時代の参議院選挙、これはともに時の政権が大幅に敗北を喫した選挙ですが、この2つの選挙との比較が今関心が持たれております。
In the last two decades, there have been six upper house elections. And of course, you will all be interested in the comparison with the past. But in the 1989, the upper house election under the Uno cabinet, and also 1998, upper house election under Hashimoto cabinet, both of which the ruling party has suffered a severe loss, which led eventually to the change of the prime minister. So now more and more predictions with the comparison with these two elections have been appearing.
Now, we'll get into the prediction in a second, but it's well known that Prime Minister Abe and the LDP are in trouble. It's almost forgotten that in September, the Abe government had about 70% support in some polls. Now it's about 30-31%, which puts them about with President Bush. But we have a presidential system, so our guy gets to stay. Prime Minister Abe could have a big problem in a parliamentary system. What happened to that 40%? What there's the pension problem, but there's a lot more, I suspect. So before we talk about possible outcomes, why is the LDP in so much trouble that they're comparing this to congressional midterms?
そもそも5年半続いた小泉政権、この小泉前総理が事実上官房長官であった安倍さんを自らの構造改革路線の後継者に指名した最大の理由は、政策的な継続性という意図よりも安倍さんの国民的人気に期待して彼を事実上の後継者に指名したわけです。
To begin with, after the five and a half year long Koizumi cabinet, the reason why they almost designated then the chief cabinet secretary, Mr. Abe, as a successor, if you will, of Prime Minister Koizumi was not so much about the continuity of the policies in terms of the structural reform and so forth, but rather Mr. Abe's popularity among the public.
しかしながら、その期待された国民的人気の前に、安倍さん自身の持っている政治手法、まあ、具体的に言えば、人事にその典型が見られると思いますが、安倍さん自身の例えば身内、仲間、アメリカ流で言えばファミリーといった方がいいかもしれませんが、を重視して、党の幹部、政権の枢要ポストに指名するといったような安倍流政治手法も支持を急落させる大きな原因だったと思います。
I think one of the factors that contributed to the downfall of Mr. Abe's popularity is his political style, which can be most evidently manifested in his personnel choices, which clearly shows that his strong focus on family ties and his comradeship with the other colleagues, and that is the key determinant for Mr. Abe to appoint people to either party leadership positions or a cabinet position in the government.
非常にわかりやすい具体例を一つ紹介します。
And let me talk a little bit about one example that clearly shows his style.
いわゆる政治と金問題で、当時のメディア、野党から袋叩きにあって、最終的には自殺に追い込まれた松岡利勝前農水大臣の後継者に赤木憲彦さんを指名したケースです。具体的な内容は後で申し上げます。
I will go in a little bit to the detail a little later, but one example I would like to use is the appointment of Norihiko Akagi as the agricultural minister succeeding Toshikatsu Matsuoka, who ended up committing suicide generating from the scandal that has to do with the politics and money.
もちろん赤木氏は、農水政策について通行している、元農水キャリア官僚であることは事実ですが、以下のような理由で彼を指名したと私は見ています。
Of course, Mr. Akagi himself is quite familiar with the agricultural issues because he himself had worked at the agricultural ministry. But in my view, he was appointed to his current position for the following reasons.
赤木憲彦氏の おじいさん、赤木、宗則氏が安倍さんの母方の祖父岸信介さんの総理時代、つまり1950年代末から60年代岸内閣で農水大臣を務めただけではなく、防衛庁長官も務めたことは皆さんすでに知っていると思います。
This is a public knowledge that Mr. Akagi's grandfather Munenori Akagi had served not only as an agricultural minister but also JDA director general under Kishi cabinet, who it, Nobusuke Kishi, as you all know, is the maternal grandfather of Prime Minister Abe.
ところがもう一つ明らかにはされていない事実があります。すなわち、安倍総理の父方の祖父安倍寛さん、彼もまた代議士でしたが、この安倍寛さんと赤木宗則さんと後に日本でも総理大臣になった三木武夫さんは大正12年に初めて衆議院に当選した同期生であり、所属している会派、派閥は別であれ3人は非常に仲良しだった。すなわち安倍さんの発想は自分の父方岸信介の内閣の一員だった事実、一方母方の祖父の友人、すなわち自分にとっては信頼できるファミリーの一員であるということが彼を後継者にする最大の根拠になったということです。
But there's one more fact that is not widely known to the public, which is the Munenori Akagi is a classmate, if you will, with Kang Abe, who is a paternal grandfather of Mr. Abe, who was also a member of House of Representatives. In 1932, Kang Abe, Takeo Miki, who is also Prime Minister, and Munenori Akagi were all elected to the House of Representatives in the same year. So they were very good, very close friends beyond party lines. So in Mr. Abe's mind, the current agricultural minister is a grandson of someone who not only served in his maternal grandfather's cabinet, but also who's a very close personal friend of his paternal grandfather. That makes current agricultural minister a member of a very trusted family.
つまり安倍さんの政治手法は人事に象徴されるように、そうした身内、仲間をまず第一に選出する根拠にしているということです。加えてもう一つ我慢してください、エピソードを言いますと、よく安倍内閣は政権発足後お仲間内閣とかお友達内閣と言われました。
So this example goes to show you the degree of emphasis that Mr. Abe puts to the family ties and how he puts his family andcomrades first. There's also another example that I can probably perhaps share with you. At the onset of the configuration of the cabinet, current the Abe cabinet has been often criticized or ridiculed as a friend's cabinet or classmate cabinet.
これはキャビネットメンバーではない人も挙げて言えば、例えば自民党の幹事長代理の石原伸晃さん、例えば自民党政調会長の中川翔一さんと安倍さんは、東急グループの総帥、亡くなった後藤昇さんの息子後藤哲さんと、この4人はまず遊び仲間なんです。ですから日常的においお前の中で当選1回生から今日まである。一方内閣の方でいうと官房長官の塩崎さん、官邸にいる首相補佐官の世耕さんなどはそれぞれ3代続く政治家として、しかも世代が50代前半および40代前半、これもお仲間、こういうメンバーによって政権党と安倍内閣の重要ポストがやはり占められているのがお仲間内閣と言われるゆえんです。
The example that shows why Mr. Abe has been criticized for his personnel decisions on the party, Liberal Democratic Party side, the example that I can that comes to my mind is Mr. Nobuteru Ishihara, as his appointment as the Deputy Director General of the LDP, and also appointment of Mr. Shoichi Nakagawa as the Chairman of the Political Affairs Research Committee. Mr. Abe, Mr. Ishihara, Mr. Nakagawa, and Mr. Tetsu Goto, who is a grandson of the chairman of the Tokyu Group, which is a big business unit in Japan. These four always, if I can put it mildly, hang out. They always hang out together. They're very good friends. So they always play together. They always go out together. And on the government side, Mr. Shiozaki, who is the chief cabinet secretary, and also one of the prime minister's advisor, Mr. Seko, they're both third generation politician, and they also belong to the age cohort of early 50s or early 40s. So on these two fronts, the appointment of these people to these positions illustrates his emphasis on his family ties and his family and other ties, and that I think contributes to the fact that his cabinet choice and his LDP party leadership choice has been criticized as the friends or classmate group.
ですからマイケルの質問に直接答えれば、こうした人事に見て分かるように仲間だから、本来アメリカの場合には大統領が重要ポストを指名する場合にはFBI その他の捜査機関情報機関がいわゆる身体検査をします。日本もこれまで内閣官房長官の指示で内閣情報調査室が身体検査をするのが常識でしたが、総理のお仲間でありお友達だから、そうした捜査機関情報機関は遠慮して身体検査をしなかった。だから赤木さんは就任してすぐまた政治と金の問題が出た。つまりこれが安倍流スタイルです。
So in direct answer to your question, Mike, is that in the case of the United States, when presidents appoint someone, FBI and the outsourced people will run background checks on the candidates. And also in Japan, it has been customary that the Cabinet Intelligence and Research Office will conduct similar background checks for the potential candidates. But in case of Mr. Abe, his selection all comes from his family friends and other friends. So even Ciro was hesitant to run a very intrusive check on them. And that is one of the reasons why as soon as Mr. Akagi became a prime minister, another campaign fund issue had come out. So that is an illustration of his political style.
So what some people saw as a strength for Abe San, which is his loyalty, and his ability to inspire his generation of politicians, because people like Seiko-san, who you mentioned, or others, many politicians, including in the opposition party, like Prime Minister Abe's foreign policy,
yes,
and like his formula for a more assertive Japan. But that same aspect of his political leadership has also gotten him in trouble. But what about other things? That is something that would be inside Nagata-cho.
Yes.
In terms of the popular image, it seems to me his biggest problem really has been the pension scandal with, I believe, now $50 million worth, excuse me, 50 million people's pension information loss. So for those of you who aren't following this, it'd be like if the Social Security Administration announced that they lost 100 million American Social Security accounts and didn't know where they were. Not a good thing to happen to you if you're the leader of the political party or the country at the time. So that seems to me the big problem. He's got the personnel issues. He's had some scandals. He's had unfortunate statements by Defense Minister Kuma about about Hiroshima or other scandals in his cabinet. But the big shock strikes me as the pension problem.
Yes.
Would you agree that for the general public, that's the that's the big problem? Or does he have a broader problems even than that?
いや、もちろん今回の参議院選挙は、当初我々が考えていた、選挙の争点というものは憲法改正問題になるであろうと。なぜならば安倍さん自身が今年1月の通常国会の総理の施政方針演説で自分の内閣の下で、憲法改正の実現に向けて道筋をつけたいというふうに言明した。その最初の選挙が今回の7月参院選ですから、憲法改正が争点になると思われている。しかし今マイクが言ったように、この年金問題でとりわけ5000万件のデータがどこ行ったかわからないという、もうとても一般国民からすると信じられないような、集大が発生したために、今や年金選挙に、憲法改正改憲から年金にアジェンダ争点が変わったということだと思います。
I think as you pointed out at the, in the beginning, we've always looked at this upper house election as the, something that will revolve around the constitutional reform, and that is precisely becauseWhen Mr. Abe delivered his policy speech at the ordinary session of the Diet this January, he specifically mentioned that his cabinet will put constitutional reform on the political calendar, and that this upcoming election will be the first election after he made that announcement. So that was what we all thought. However, as you pointed out, there is now this issue of 50 million people's worth of data on pension has been lost, which is quite unbelievable, and that definitely has shifted the focus of the election from what used to be the constitutional reform election to now it is a pension election.
There are polls out asking what voters care about in this election, and Constitution's number five, I believe, or six.
Yes.
And pension and economy are number one, two, and three. So it's not that the Japanese public opposes the Abe administration's ideas for constitutional reform. They just don't think they're as important as the pension fund and economic issue and salary and job gaps. Is that the right way to interpret?
Yes.
Now, let's talk about the numbers. How many seats, when we gather at Heritage, or maybe the day before, how many seats does the LDP have to win for Abe to stay? There's no law, but what's your guess?
これはなかなか難しい回答になると思うんです。私自身、予測をしてですね、これが結果として何日か後に判明するわけですから、間違っていれば私のクレディビリティに関わることなので、かなり慎重にお答えをしたいと思います。
It is really hard to say, as you all know, once I make a prediction and we all know the answer soon, and it does affect my credibility, so I have to be a little cautious here.
まずですね、自民公明、つまり政権与党が、参議院で、過半数を維持するために必要とされているのは64議席です。
To start with, the number of the seats that the ruling coalition, that is LDP and Komei Party, will need to maintain the majority in the upper house is 64.
その中でとりわけ、焦点とされるのは自民党が改選する現有の議席64もあるんですが、そこから どれだけ議席を減らすかというところに今最大の関心があります。そして、公明党が現有の12議席を維持できるという前提に立った場合には、自民党が52議席を取らなければ先ほど言った与党としての64をクリアしないということです。
And, right now with the assumption that the Komei Party will hold on to the 12 seats that it currently has, in order for the ruling coalition to maintain the majority, LDP has to win 52 to maintain the majority.
問題は今やこの52が、どれまで議席を減らすかということです。具体的に言うと、わずか1週間前は52から44まで議席を減らすのかどうかということに大きな関心が持たれていました。なぜならばこの44というのは冒頭に言った98年の橋本政権の時の負けた自民党の議席が44だからです。
So the focus of the election prediction is how much seat LDP will loseoff of the 52 seats that will require to maintain a majority. And just about a week ago, everybody was talking about 44 was the number. And this is the number that, that stayed with LDP in 1998 upper house election.
その当時の44を上回れば、安倍さんは当然政権を維持し、続投するというふうに見られていたし、44を1議席でも下回って43以下になると安倍政権は一体どうなるのか、まあ、40議席を割ることはそれほどの可能性としてはないだろう。であれば焦点の中の焦点は43から40、つまり40議席台の限りなく前半に近い時に安倍政権はどうなるのかというのが1週間前の一番の関心事でした。
So what that means is, of course, if LDP wins, wins more than 44 seats, Mr. Abe will stay. But the question, the prospect will become a little unclear if the number goes under that. But no one had predicted that the number of the seats will go under 40. So the focal point of the debate was what will happen if LDP ends up with anywhere between 40 seats to 43 seats.
1週間後の今日この時点では、関心は今や44を上回る下回るではなくて40議席を上回ることができるのか40議席を下回るほどの歴史的な大敗になるのかというところに今日この時点では関心が移っています。
However, as of today, a mere week later, the focal of debate has shifted downward to whether Abe can maintain 40 seats or not.
結論を先に言いますと、40議席を下回った場合には、冒頭今回の参議院選挙は政権選択選挙ではないというふうに言いましたが、安倍さんは退陣を余儀なくされる可能性が非常に高いと思います。
So let me get to the conclusion first is that on the outset I said this election is not supposed to be the change of government election. However, if the LDP ends up with the seat less than 40 seats, there is a strong possibility that Mr. Abe will be forced to resign.
ただし、ここが非常にデリケートなんですが、40を下回っても先ほど出た89年の宇野政権の37をさらに下回る、つまり36以下の大敗の場合はもちろん問題なく安倍退陣ですが、私の今得ている感触では40を下回っても宇野さんの37、つまり39から37の場合には安倍さんは後で理由を説明しますが居座る、つまり危機を中央突破する
However, this gets into what's a little bit sensitive here is that when Mr. Uno's cabinet suffered a big loss in 1989, they were only able to get 37 seats. So of course, if Mr. Abe ends up with a less than 37, like 36, there's no doubt that he will be forced to resign. However, if he ends up with the seats that's between 37 to 39, it is my view that he will be determined to stay in the government.
もちろん安倍さんが自ら辞任しないと言った場合には安倍さんは辞める必要は少なくても法的にはないわけです。しかしながら辞めろという声は党内外から大きな声として出る。具体的に言いますと、例えば7月30日のメジャー新聞の一面トップの見出しは40を下回った場合には首相退陣へという見出しが来ます。しかし40以上44の間だと、先ほど非常にデリケートと言いましたように首相進退微妙、あるいは首相重大決意へという大見出しが、つまり世論や国民がどう反応するかによって安倍さん自身残ると自分自身決めても残させない力が党内から出てくる可能性がある。具体的に言うと安倍降ろしということです。
And of course, legally speaking, because this is the upper house election, Mr. Abe doesn't have to quit, doesn't have to resign unless he intends to do so. However, there will be some outside forces that may force him to do that in the end. Specifically, let's talk a little bit about what the headline might look like on the day after the election. If he ends up with less than 40 seats, all the major newspapers will have a headline on a front page saying Abe toward resignation. However, if he ends up with the anywhere between 44 seats, the headline will be a little bit more subtle, such as his coming and going uncertain, or he may make a significant decision. So what I'm trying to say here is that even if Mr. Abe wants to stay as a prime minister, depending on how the public responds and how the public opinion responds and the people responds, there may be other forces that would force him to step down. And that's atmospheric that I would describe as Abe Oroshi, which is dragging Abe down.
Sankei Shimbun. Mm-hmm. Will probably write something pretty good for him.
Yes.
Asahi Shimbun will probably write something very bad for him.
Yes.
Yomiuri should write something good for him. Mm. But I think the Abe government and Yomiuri have a kind of bimyona
dedicated
uneasy relationship. So we'll watch carefully what the newspapers say. All right. If he gets 42, 43, mm-hmm. the LDP and the coalition do not keep mm-hmm. the majority in the upper house, mm-hmm. but it's above 40, mm-hmm. 41, 42. Mm-hmm. So he stays. What kind of Abe government is possible? Will there be a reshuffling of the cabinet mm-hmm. if he stays? Mm-hmm. Will he change his agenda mm-hmm. away from Article 9 or security mm-hmm. back to mm-hmm. economics or something? Mm-hmm. Or will he be damaged, mm-hmm. Crippled and injured and, mm-hmm. and eventually have to step down? What mm-hmm. kind of Abe mm-hmm. government, what kind of policies would we expect to see if he gets mm-hmm. 42 or if he gets mm-hmm. in the range where he can stay?
今マイクが言ったように、安倍が続投を自ら決めて安倍降ろしが走行、つまり成功しなかった場合には、安倍さん自身は、まず内閣改造と自民党執行部、具体的には党五役の一新を図って、彼の
Of course, as you pointed out, if opposition force is not successful in dragging Mr. Abe down, it is pretty much expected that Mr. Abe will try to make a break with the reshuffling of the cabinet and also replacement of the party leadership. By that, he will probably replace all five key positions in the party.
問題は今一 指摘されたように、じゃあそういう大敗を喫した自民党の力を背景とした安倍さんが第二次政権として一体どういう政治を行えるのかということになります。これまで安倍さんが安倍政治の二大柱として打ち出したのは、一つが憲法改正、今一つが教育再生です。この二つについては、まず法律的に前者は、この通常国会会期中内にご承知のように国民投票法案という憲法改正に、の手続きをするために必要な法律を成立させています。教育再生については去年の臨時国会で教育基本法改正案というのを成立した上に、今国会ではこれをさらに補完する教育関連3法案というのをもう成立させています。つまり簡単に言うと、安倍政治の日本柱に実現のために必要な法的根拠はすでに安倍さんは担保を得てしまっているわけですね。じゃあ具体的にこれから何をできるかというと、まさに触れた集団的自衛権の問題とか、安倍さんのいわばお得意分野とされる、まあ、外交安全保障の中でどういう国民にアピールできる政策が考えられるかということを、まあ、安倍さんは、次の政権で、脆弱ながらも目指すことになると思います。
And actually, the rather focus is what you, exactly what you mentioned, how politically capable Mr. Abe's second cabinet, if you will be, with that much of a significant loss suffered by the LDP. When Mr. Abe first formed his government, the two pillars of his government was constitutional reform and educational reform. On the former, he had his government had already passed the national referendum law during this year's ordinary session of the Diet. And this has set the procedures for the constitutional reform. For the latter, not only did his government pass the law to reform the basic education law during the last year's extraordinary session, on top of that, his government also passed three new laws related to educational reform during this year's ordinary session. By that, what I'm trying to say is out of those two pillars, both of them had been somewhat already legislatively speaking, taken care of. So what comes next will be the question. And that probably will be the issues such as the issue of collective self-defense and other foreign policy and security issues. And I think as weak as his government may be, he will have to identify a new agenda that will appeal to the public.
My sense is he will not drop those issues. He won't abandon those issues, but he'll put other issues in front to regain popularity. Would you agree with that? In other words, collective defense, constitutional reform will still be slowly moving forward, but the priority will have to be placed, if he has a weak position, will have to be placed on some other issues to regain popularity.
質問に対する直接の答えにならないかもしれないけども、集団的自衛権の問題とか、日本版の国家安全保障会議設置の問題とかいうものは、いわゆる票支持ですね、国民的なにはつながらないけれども、この秋以降に北朝鮮問題が何か突発的な出来事として起きる、あるいは日本が何か安全保障上の問題で大きな国際的な事件の中に巻き込まれるといったようなことが仮に起きれば、国民の支持は得られると思いますが、そういうたらればの話ですから、私は今言った集団的自衛権の問題を含めた外交安全保障政策では、第二次安倍政権を浮揚させることにはならないと思います。
This may not directly answer your question, but as you said, the issues such as a collective self-defense or a Japanese version of NSC, it does not lead to specific votes orvotes, unless Japan faces the major international crisis or there's some major development happening in the North Korean front, all of a sudden, unexpectedly, then those issues might reattract public attention, and that would lead to heightening the obvious popularity. However, minus that, those scenarios are all big ifs and buts world. So those issues do not those issues will not necessarily lead to the bringing the Abe's popularity up.
Let's go to the other scenario. Mm-hmm. 35 seats, 36 seats, mm. Abe resigns, or 39 seats, mm. and Koga and Aoki and Mori mm. and people get together and convince mm. Abe to resign. Mm. If Abe steps down, who is likely to become prime minister, and what can we expect?
37 をもちろん下回った場合には安倍退陣は不可避だと言いました。その場合は当然ながら時期は別として自民党総裁選が開かれます。具体的にどういうシナリオで開かれるかということを説明しながらマイクの質問に答えます。
Of course, as I said in my loose predictions, if Abe ends up with less than 37 seats, there's no doubt that he will have to step down. And if that's the case, when is another question, but there will be an election within the LDP to choose the new president. So as I walk through the calendar toward that end, let me answer your question.
8月15日が日本にとって終戦記念日ということはご存知だと思います。その前に8月6日には広島原爆記念日、8月9日には長崎原爆記念日、つまりそれぞれ追悼式典が行われます。でこれには時の政権の総理大臣が出席することがなりわいとなり、とりわけ8月15日の全国戦没者追悼式典は東京の武道館で開かれ、天皇陛下が出席します。したがって8月15日までに新しい総裁を選ぶ必要があると、まあ、誰が考えるか別として、つまり自民党内のコンセンサスによるわけですが、新しい総裁を選ぶということになれば、7月29日の翌日、7月30日からそれまでに新しい総裁を選んで、かつて衆議院と参議院で首班指名を行わなければいけませんので、日程が非常にタイトになります。となると考えられるのは、自民党所属の衆議院参議院の議員だけによる両院議員総会で誰かを選ぶ、事実上の話し合い選出ということになると思います。それが一番最速で新しい自民党総裁を決める方法です。
The quickest way to elect the next LDP president is as follows. There is a couple of domestic calendars in Japan in August that are significant. August 15th, as we all know, is the day that Japan surrendered. There will be a big memorial service for all for those who have lost their lives during that war at the Nippon Budokan, and emperor will attend that ceremony. And August 6th and 9th, there will be respectively a memorial ceremony for nuclear bombs victims in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And for all these services, it is very customary that the prime minister at that time will attend. So I'm not quite sure who will make this decision, but if someone within the LDP decides that it is necessary to replace LDP president before that August 15th memorial service, this will help. The political calendar obviously will be extremely tight, but they will still have to elect someone within the party and then bring it to both lower and upper houses of the Diets. So effectively, this will be a new prime minister and new LDP president will be elected by the discussion or meetings amongst the LDP members of those houses.
The old way of picking LDP prime ministers, not the way that Koizumi got elected and Abe.
その場合は具体的な名前を挙げると、福田康夫元官房長官になる可能性が高いと私は思います。
if LDP decides to go with that scenario, it is highly, like, there is a strong probability that the Mr. Yasuo Fukuda, the former chief cabinet secretary, will be elected.
しかしながら、話し合い選出というのは、まさに小渕さんが亡くなった後に森喜朗さんが密室で決められた、つまり談合という言葉が使われて叩かれました。この教訓があるので、話し合い選出はやはりなかなか現実性がない。したがってやはり、選挙という形を取り、その場合には麻生太郎外務大臣と、前回にやはり出た谷垣定和前財務大臣、もしかすると中川翔一、現自民党政調会長などによる選挙、その場合には私は最有力候補は麻生さんになるであろうと思います。
However, when a late Prime Minister Obuchi fell ill, succeeding Prime Minister Mori was elected somewhat in that manner, and it got a strong criticism, and LDP remembers that as a significant lesson. So it is very unrealistic, actually, for the party to go with that scenario. If that's the case, they would go with the party election.
Which includes not just Diet members, but party members from the country.
Yes, exactly.
More open election.
And if that's the case, Mr. Aso, Mr. Tanigaki, former finance minister, and Mr. Nakagawa, the current Political Affairs Research Committee chairman, and others will probably contend. In that scenario, I would say Mr. Aso has a strong probability to be elected.
Let's look at maybe economics a little bit, defense, and then we'll open it up. On economic policy, if do you think an Aso government on economic reform, on interest rate policy, on economic issues, would an Aso government be different from Abe?
Okay. 仮に麻生政権が誕生する場合は、すでに話しているように自民党が大敗を喫して、緊急避難的に麻生政権が誕生するわけですから、そして参議院は大幅に与党の過半数割れ状態になるわけですから、麻生さんはまず人事で野党側と協議ができるような自民党執行部を作らなければなりません。なぜならばその時点での参議院の議長は第一会派の民主党から議長が選出される。つまりもう政権党にとっては参議院における議会運営はスタート時点から非常に難しいことになりますから、麻生さんはそうした人事を見せることによって野党との話し合い路線を自分は打ち出すということをせざるを得ない、鼻から運命にある。それはすなわちマイクの質問に関して言えば、小泉政権の5年半、安倍政権の10ヶ月のいわゆる自由主義経済、競争原理に基づいた自由主義経済政策からやや軌道修正する、憲法改正もそれほど強く求めないということを人事で示さなければならないので、麻生さん自身は非常にビジネスオリエンテッドのある、日本商工青年会議所の会頭も務めた、自分の麻生セメントの会社の経営もやっておられたという方だけれども、宿命的に非常に縛られた条件で政権運営をするから、必然的に経済政策、それは国際金融政策も全て含めて選択肢が鼻から非常に狭い政権になる可能性が高いと思います。
If when Aso cabinet is formed, it is under the condition that LDP suffered a major loss in upper house election. What that means is president of the upper house will be coming from DPJ. So Mr. Aso will have to send a big political message by his appointment of LDP party leadership, by selecting someone who can work with Democratic Party of Japan and other opposition parties. And his government will be disadvantaged in terms of his diet management from the beginning because of this situation. So what that means is he will have to send a message that his government will correct the course from 5.5 years of Koizumi government and 10 months of Abe government that symbolized a free economy and a competition-based economy to more of a more away from that principle. And he will probably emphasize not so much emphasis on the constitutional reform, for example, either. Although Mr. Aso himself is very much business-oriented, but the political circumstances, as I just described, will bind him from the very beginning. So his economic policy or foreign policy will reflect his political bind.
Fukuda, mm-hmm. Aso are pro-U.S.-Japan alliance, just like Abe.
Mm-hmm.
But there might be some differences mm-hmm. on defense policy, too. Aso-san has been a very strong proponent of democracy, mm-hmm. like Abe, so that would continue, I think. Mm-hmm. Like Abe, Aso-san has been supportive of missile defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's been interested in F-22 or mm-hmm. advanced fighters,
mm-hmm.
And supportive of the transformation or move mm-hmm. from Okinawa to Guam.
Yes.
Article 9 or collective defense put mm-hmm. that aside. In terms of some of these specific issues, mm-hmm. do you think an Aso cabinet would continue forward some of the same thinking? Since as foreign minister, mm-hmm. he's part of the decision-making mm-hmm. process now mm-hmm. on those issues.
Mm-hmm. 結論は、答えはイエスですね。しかしながら、今先ほど言ったように、スタートラインから条件を突きつけられた政権を立ち上げるわけですから、麻生さんがフリーハンドでこれまでの日米同盟、検事の小泉安倍政権と全く同じスタイルで、例えば F-22 の導入問題、まあ、アメリカ側の方にも日本に対して相当不信感があるようですが、引き続き、導入方向でいくのか、在日米軍再編問題の中でとりわけ沖縄の普天間基地移転についてはこれまでの日米合意にそのまま実現のために踏襲するのか、それは多少の温度差、今までの政権と温度差はあるにしても基本的な方向性は同じだと思います。ただし先ほどの名前出たからついでに言っちゃいますが、福田さんももちろん日米同盟堅持派ですが、麻生安倍に比べるとあるいは小泉に比べると言われているようにアジア中国重視、もちろん谷垣さんはそうですから、この2人が万が一政権を取るようなことになった場合には、相当小泉安倍ときた日米関係とはとりわけ、安全保障の問題では違ったスタンスを取る政権が日本に誕生することになると思います。
Short answer would be yes. However, as I mentioned before, Mr. Aso will be significantly politically conditioned from the beginning. So yes, he is a big supporter of the U.S.-Japan alliance, but I'm not quite sure if he can afford continuing identical path as the Prime Minister Koizumi and Prime Minister Abe on the issues such as the introduction, whether or not Japan should continue to try to acquire F-22, or should the Japan continue to uphold its side of the obligation on the implementing the agreement on the relocation of the U.S. bases, particularly on the Futenma. So you will see differences and nuances. But if Mr. Aso forms the government, the basic principle will remain the same. However, if I can quickly add, Mr. Fukuda or Mr. Tanigaki, as many people have acknowledged, has much stronger focus on Asia and China. So if one of these gentlemen wins the election and forms the government, we may see a very different foreign policy and security policy approaches from Japan.
We have not mentioned Ichiro Ozawa. Mm-hmm. Any scenario for him to become prime minister? His party is about to win an election. Seems fair to ask. Does he have a chance of becoming prime minister?
この中には熱烈な小沢ファンがいるかもしれませんが、その方には残念ですが、小沢さんが我が国の内閣総理大臣になる可能性は限りなくゼロに近いと思います。 その理由はまあいくつかありますが、まず第一に彼の健康問題をやっぱり指摘する必要があります。彼が心臓のバイパス手術を受けているのはもう周知の事実です。内閣総理大臣という激務を務めることは医学的にもできない、それは本人は自覚しています。ただ彼がなぜ今回の参議院選挙にここまで、情熱をかけて、戦っているのか、それは、優れて小沢一郎という個性に、その理由は求められると思います。後で説明します。
If any of you in this room is a big fan of Ichiro Ozawa, I'm afraid to say this, but it's the prospect of him becoming a prime minister is very, very close to zero. And the prime reason for it being his health problem. It is a public knowledge that he has gone through bypass surgery. So he knows that it is medically impossible for him to have a prime minister's job, which is apparently a very, very difficult and hard job. But then why Mr. Ozawa invests himself so much in this election is really coming from who he is and his characteristic as a politician.
1993年に、それまで続いたいわゆる日本の55年体制をぶち壊したのはまさに小沢一郎であることは孫をなき事実です。しかし、その細川連立政権およびそれに続いた旗政権、後の小沢さんの歴史的キャリアを見れば、まさに98年の参院選の時には、自由党という非常に小さな野党の党首だ、つまりこの間の93年以降の小沢さんは常に自民党に対してどうリベンジしたらいいかというもう反恨みのいわば精神で凝り固まっているわけで、小沢さんをここまで駆り立てているのはなんとか自民党にリベンジしたい、もうその1年だけで、ここまで来ているというふうに言っていいと思います。
Of course everyone knows that it is Ozawa who opened the way to destroy 1955 system in 1993. But if you look at his political maneuvering from 1993 to 1998, he has played a big role in forming the Hosokawa cabinet in 1994 and subsequent Hatta cabinet. And when the upper house election in 1998 happened, he was the head of the Liberal Party, which is one of the small minority opposition party at that time, and his whole political behavior has been motivated by his thinking of how he could take a revenge on LDP. So it is really the sense of his desire to take a revenge on LDP that motivates him.
したがって私が小沢さんについて関心を持っているのは、小沢さんが総理大臣を目指すことなくどうリベンジするかですから、例えば参議院選で今回の選挙で自民党が歴史的な大敗を喫するということは、逆に言うと民主党が議席を飛躍的に伸ばし、先ほど言ったように参議院の議長は民主党が取るとなると、あのパワーブローカー旧来型自民党的なまさに権化である小沢さんはありとあらゆる手段を通じて今の自民公明連立政権に対して政治的な攻勢を働きかける。先ほど言ったように98年の参議院選挙の時には自由党という小さな党首の野党の党首でしかなかった。今回は飛躍的に勝てば自民党を上回る第一会派の代表ですから、何をしでかすかわからない小沢という意味では非常に関心を持つべき対象だと思います。
So he has to take this revenge that he's interested in having LDP without seeking a prime ministership himself. So how does he go about that? Well, if LDP suffers a historical defeat in this upper house election, the Democratic Party of Japan will provide the president of the upper house. And Mr. Ozawa, who back in 1998 was only a party leader of the very, very minor party, is now a party head of the, the biggest opposition party and the actually ruling party in the upper house, when you look at the upper house. And Mr. Ozawa is a typical power broker style, old style LDP politician. So once he becomes the president of a political party who has the majority in the upper house, I'm certain that he will use whatever the political maneuvering and technique that he knows that he can use to attack LDP Komei ruling coalition. So in that sense, no one really knows what kind of maneuvering he will show. So in that sense, he will remain very interesting, if that's the case.
You can, if you haven't found them already, you can watch the television commercials for the LDP and the Democratic Party on YouTube. And Abe marches onto the stage to martial music. Ozawa, in his ad, is sitting on a hill with a dog and not saying anything. And then he turns to the dog and says something like, "Life's complicated, isn't it?" And it's a very unusual ad, but seems to be working. Also, Nick, did we make copies? Yeah, we have. Toshikawa-san has written, I guess it's about a week old now, but has written an essay in English outlining a lot of these thoughts, which we have copies of. On your way out, you can grab them. But why don't we take a few questions from people in the audience? And I believe we have a microphone.
その前に一つね、ちょっと付け加えたい。
I can add one more thing before going to question.
今まで話してきたように自民党がほぼ惨敗というよりも歴史的大敗を喫するのは間違いないと思いますが、 じゃあ果たして安倍官邸がこのまま手をこまねいて見ているのかというとですね、実は、そうではない可能性も残されていると思います。まどろっこしい言い方ですが、具体的に言いますと、サプライズがもしかするとあるかもしれない。そのサプライズというのは、自民党が負けない ことはないけれど、負ける程度をどれだけ少なくするのか、つまり小負け、中負け、大負けとあるとすれば、中負けか大負けの今可能性があるわけですね。で、その中の中の、まあ、上、まあ、まあまあいい方、なんかお寿司の値段みたいですけど、中の下より中の上にするためにサプライズをする可能性があると、 今東京でごく一部の世界でひそやかにささやかれています。
As I mentioned, I'm in the view that the LDP will suffer a historical defeat in this election, but it doesn't mean that Abe and his cabinet will idly sit by and let that happen. There is a possibility for quote unquote surprises, and the kind of surprise that they are thinking about is not something that will turn a loss into a LDP victory. But then if you can categorize loss as a small, medium, and big loss, where everybody's predicting now LDP will suffer medium to big loss, but then they could minimize the loss from sheer medium to medium that's closer to small loss. And that is still a big surprise scenario that the very, very small number of people in Tokyo
have heard about.
To be more specific, everybody will know that everybody here knows that the Mr. Abe gained his popularity with his work in the abduction issues vis-a-vis North Korea.
日本時間で 7月 20日 もう日時まで具体的に設定された話なんですが、北朝鮮に拉致された日本政府が認定している 17人の拉致被害者のうち一番最後に拉致被害者として政府が認定した松本京子さんという山陰地方から拉致された女性が 7月20日に万元防号で日本に帰ってくるという話が非常に 限られた人の中で、取り沙汰されています。
There are 17 victims of the abduction that the Japanese government certified. And Kyoko Matsumoto, who was the last one out of those 17 that government acknowledged, there is a rumor that she will be on the Mangyongbon ship and return to Japan on the July 20th, Japan time.
今あのルーマーというふうに、彼女は訳しましたが、もう少し積極的な意味がありまして、東京の公安情報機関関係者の間で、取り沙汰されている話であり、韓国の北朝鮮情報を専門にしているメディアがそれを報じております。日本のメディアではそれをそのまま報じてはいませんが、仮に、それが事実だとすれば、アメリカのスパイ衛星が上からマンギョンボをチョンジンという港をウォッチしているわけですから、もしそれが事実だとしたらもうすでに情報が入っているかもしれませんけれども、もしこれが実現した場合、つまり拉致被害者が一人でもこの選挙期間中に帰国するということになると、じゃあそれが選挙に与えるインパクトはどうなのかということなんですね。私はもちろん安倍さんの政権にとってこれは大きな肯定的な材料になるのはもちろん言うまでもありませんが、今比例代表で1500万票ぐらいしか自民党は取れないと、一方の民主党は1800万以上取るんではないかと言われてますが、仮にこの拉致被害者が投票日前に帰ってくれば、2、300万票を上乗せすることは可能でしょうが、選挙の結果体制にそれほど大きな影響を与えるとは思いにくいんですが、こればっかりは開けてみないと玉手箱は分かりませんので、国民の反応がどうなのか、もしそれが事実だとするとですね、でそういう可能性について、もう少し詳しく話せといえば、その根拠は、話してもいいです。
The interpreter just interpreted as a rumor, but it's actually a little bit more certain than that. It is a story that has been floated around by the intelligence sources amongst the public safety and intelligence agency and the other intelligence sources, and also the South Korean media, which specializes on the North Korean information, has reported on this. This has not been reported by the Japanese media, by the way. If this is a fact, if any of the abductees return to Japan before the vote date, what will its impact for the election be?There's no doubt that this will be a big plus for the Abe government. And currently, in the proportional representative side of the voting, LDP is estimated to be able to gain only about 15 million votes, and as opposed to DPJ is estimated to have 18 million votes. If any of the abductees, such as Ms. Matsumoto, return to Japan,This vote for LDP will probably go up anywhere between 2 to 3 million. So this will be a plus, but I don't think that this will affect the results of election. However, this is a Pandora's box that no one knows what happens once it's opened up. So if you would like me to elaborate on this, I'll be happy to do so.
Can you move your mic up a little? All right, questions from the floor for Mr. Toshikawa or Yuki.For me.
I'm wondering if Mr. Toshikawa could speak broadly on the stakes or the implications for the United States of the electoral outcomes, especially the more fluid ones, and more specifically, would a different administration take a different tack on North Korea, given that Japan does in some corners face isolation? If Japan can't move on the abductee issue, the whole six-party process might get...bogged down, and feel free to challenge the premise of that question as well.
基 基本的には、まず安倍政権自身が、一連の6者協議を通じて日本がこの多国間の話し合いの中で、孤立をしているという認識をまず持ってないということ、私は違う考え方を持ってますが、安倍政権そのものはそういう認識を持っていないということが、まず質問に対するお答えとして言っておく必要があると思います。
Let me first start answering your question by stating that the current Abe government doesn't recognize his government being isolated in the six-party talks. I of course have a different view, but let's start from that baseline.
今年の1月以降、ブッシュ政権が北朝鮮政策を、我々からすれば180度路線転換をしたわけですが、そして今開かれている6者協議に至る過程をつぶさに見ると、安倍政権及び外務省外交当局がこの問題について公の場で話していること、コメントしていること、ブリーフィングしていることは私には強がりとしか思えません。
When I watch closely what has been happening in to the Six Party Talk after this year's January, of course since then U.S. policy toward approach to this issue has we've seen 180 degrees change almost. So if I look at that, to me what Abe government has been saying, or MOFA, Minister of Foreign Affairs, has been saying on this issue publicly, whether in terms of statement or briefing.To me, that's a posturing.
まず具体的な例を持って、その話を進めていきます、国務省のクリス・ヒル国務次官補が、訪朝する前に、我が国を訪ねて、6者協議の日本の主席代表の笹江アジア局長及び事務次官の八瀬さんと会った際に、自らの平壌訪問を事前に両者に通告していたのか、通告していたとすれば、表向きの昼支え会談、これは外務省で行われました、および昼八千会談で話したのか、それとも別の機会に通告したのかということは、実は日本のメディアによってはまだ正式に検証した上で、コンファームされていません。なぜならば、昼訪朝を報道で、知った時の首相官邸、具体的に言えば官房長官の塩崎氏の狼狽ぶりは、定例会見での反応ですが、明らかに事前に知っていなかったと思われるからです。
One example, let me talk about a couple of examples that proves my point. When Assistant Secretary Hill visited Pyongyang, prior to that, he visited Tokyo and met with Mr. Sasai, his counterpart in the Six Party Talks, as well, and the Deputy Director General of Asia Bureau, and also Mr. Yachi, who is the Vice Foreign Minister. Whether he had informed of his visit to Pyongyang to Japan during those visit actually has not been yet confirmed by Japanese media, including whether he talked about it in his meetings with Mr. Sasai or Mr. Yachi or at separate occasions. The reason is that when Mr. Shiozaki, Chief Cabinet Secretary, learned of Mr. Hill's visit to Pyongyang by watching TV, he was severely upset, and it really showed in his his meeting with the press. So his how the degree of his being him his disturbance tells me that he did not know, and he was not notified before his visit.
これまでの日米関係の同盟関係の常識、そしてこれまでの6者協議の行われたプロセスからすると。ヒル国務次官補が自らの訪朝を日本の外交当局に事前通告するはずがしないはずがないというのが我々のまず認識です。
Of course, our understanding is that judging from the history of U.S.-Japan cooperation on this issue and U.S.-Japan alliance cooperation issue on this six-party talks and others, it is impossible for Mr. Hill not to inform a Japanese diplomatic authority about his visit to Pyongyang.
だとすれば、谷地外務事務次官と安倍総理の特別な関係、外交当局の最高責任者と内閣総理大臣の関係を超えて、この10ヶ月の谷地さんの果たした役割は、いわば安倍総理の戦略アドバイザー的な重要な役割を果たしてきているだけに、谷地さんが事前通告を受けていたら、途端に安倍総理に報告したはずです。
And the relationship with the Vice Foreign Minister Yachi and Mr. Abe is very special. That goes beyond the 10 month of Mr. Abe's tenure as a Prime Minister. And Mr. Yachi has effectively functioned as his strategy advisor. So had Mr. Yachi known about the visit, he would have immediately notified Mr. Abe and the cabinet office.
つまり何が言いたいかというと、仮に安倍さんは谷地さんを通じて知っていたが、塩崎さんは知らされていなかったとすると、総理大臣と官房長官の間にこの蛭包丁という一つの情報が共有されていないという信じがたい事実が浮かび上がってくるから、私は長々とこれを説明しているんです。
And if Mr. Abe had known about the visit and just did not notify Mr. Shiozaki, this presents another significant issue that between Prime Minister and Chief Cabinet Secretary, the information of this importance is not shared. And that is why I took time to elaborate this whole process.
つまりこういうことです。安倍さんはこの間一貫して拉致問題が解決に向けて進展しない限り、日朝の二国間協議は行わないと繰り返して説明していました。しかし外務省の一部および官邸のスタッフの一部には、そうしたスタンスはあまりにも硬直的だという批判を、公然とはできないんですが、する向きも少なくない。つまり日本政府の中にも北朝鮮政策が一本化十分できていないという事実があるということを私は説明している。ですから質問に答えて言えば、アメリカ自身も突然の180度の路線転換で、国務省や国防総省やホワイトハウス NEC の中でそれぞれ違った立場意見を持っている人がいることは私も承知しています。それと同じように日本も実はわずか10ヶ月の政権だけれども、立場が違う、主張が異なる、政権、この2つが、とりわけブッシュ政権の残る1年半の中で北朝鮮政策でどう出るかによっては、私は、ちょっと失態しては起きてはならないような相互が日米間に起きる心配、危険というものが あるのではないかと、個人的には非常に恐れています。
Mr. Abe has always insisted that unless there is a progress in abduction issue, Japan and North Korea will not get into bilateral discussion. However, some in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and even some in the Prime Minister's office are critical of his position by saying that this is a little bit too inflexible and ties Japan's hands completely. So this episode that I took time to explain shows you that even within the Japanese government, there is no real consensus over over a policy toward North Korea. And even in the United States, after it changes its approach to North Korea 180 degrees, I know that there are different views amongst the State Department, DOD, and NSC. Similar situation exists in Japan. So these two countries will have to coordinate for the remainder of the Bush administration for the next 18 months or so. And during this period, I fear that, there is a real risk of a serious mistake may be made between the two countries.
I think, Paul, one of the many meteors that fell on Abe's head over the past 6 months, and the big meteors were things like the pension scandal, personnel scandals, but this North Korea policy change by the U.S. was a small meteor that also hit him in the head. I don't think it helped politically the Abe government, the way the U.S. shifted policy and the way we explained it, and the way that the U.S. side frequently let this idea that Japan was an obstacle get out there in the rhetoric of the six-party talks at a time when in March, April, May, and June, the real problem was we were haggling with the North Koreans about how to give them their money back. It wasn't that Japan was being tough on the abductees. So there was a little bit of unfair casting of Japan as the obstacle when, in fact, the problem was North Korea was demanding its money back the whole time. That said, my sense is no matter how this election comes out, even if Abe comes through it very strongly, there's going to be a shift on abductees, personally. I think there's going to be a tactical shift, as Toshikawa said. Not a fundamental shift in strategy, but just putting forward a bit more flexible negotiating position, a bit more of the what I think people in foreign ministry have wanted to do. We have time for one more short question, then we'll break, although Toshikawa-san will be around if people want to corner him and find out what other surprises in July might happen. Chuck?
Chuck Jones, I used to be Mike's gopher. When Prime Minister Abe visited the United States for a summit meeting, his poll numbers went up. One of the few times they'd gone up in the last few months after the summit meeting with President Bush. To what extent does the current state of U.S.-Japanese relations, and I think you can sort of epitomize it this week by the Honda resolution on the Hill and Prime Minister Kato's letter stating consequences to that relationship, to what extent does that affect the electoral outcome?
この歴史問題、とりわけ従軍慰安婦問題というのはおそらくアメリカにおけるキャピトルヒルおよび政権メディアの受け止めているイメージ、と日本における政権とメディア、ここには今度は国民が受け止めているイメージがこれほど大きく差があるテーマ、日米間に関わるもので、私はないと思います。まずそこから。
To start off, let me say that there's no other issues other than history issue, particularly this comfort woman issue, that we see a huge divergence between the image that's held in the Congress and government and media in the United States and the image that's been held by the Japanese government and Japanese media and Japanese public.
こういう説明の仕方が一番わかりやすいと思いますが、キューマ発言が問題になって彼は辞任を余儀なくされました。長崎、広島に原子爆弾落ちたのはしょうがないねと。でこの時出た日本の国内の反応というのはアメリカに私は十二分伝わっていないと思うんですね。それはどういうことかというと、日本の一部にはアメリカが、あるいはアメリカのメディアが、あるいは議会の一部がという言い方の方が正しいと思いますが、このカムフォートウーマンの問題を含めた歴史問題を、あるいは場合によっては靖国問題の日本政府、あるいはのこれまでの歴代の政権のスタンスについて批判が来るとですね、必ず広島長崎に原爆を落としたアメリカの責任はどうなんだと、東京大空襲1日だけで2万人以上の人間が死んでいるんだ、あの責任はどうなんだという声が必ず起こってくるんですね。つまり、右翼とか超保守というそうではなくて、日本のいわゆるオーディナリーピープルからもそういう声が、アメリカからの 議会の決議があるという報道が新聞やテレビで連日決議前に報道されると、普通の大衆はそういうリアクションを起こすように最近特になってるんですね。そうした観点からすると、その質問に対してお答えしたいと思います。
And as a further as a background, as you may know, Defense Minister Kuma had to resign after he made the remarks to the effect that it couldn't be helped that the United States dropped the nuclear bomb on Nagasaki and the commotion that emanated from that. But the Japanese public's response, I'm afraid, has not been communicated well to the United States on this specific issue that's related to Nagasaki and Hiroshima, which is that some in Japan has this view that every time some in the U.S. media or U.S. Congress begin to criticize Japan on the account of history issues or Prime Minister Koizumi Yasukuni visits or this comfort woman issue, there are some that questions, what about the responsibility of the United States for dropping nuclear bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki? What about the responsibility of the United States for a Tokyo air raid by which just one night 20,000 non-combatant died? And that kind of a retort comes not from the right wing or ultra-conservatives, but from ordinary Japanese public. And this kind of response has been particularly frequent in these days.
ですから質問に答えますと、歴史問題の中にはアメリカでの理解、認識と、具体的な当事者である中国あるいは韓国、まあ、北朝鮮を含めてもいいと思いますが、つまりアジアの受け止め方、理解と私は基本的に違うと思うんです。しかしながらアメリカが日本を考えて、日本のためをもって、この歴史問題は日本をもっと、アメリカ国民に、よく分かるように説明すべきではないか、今までの説明が不十分ではないかという指摘をする、意図は私個人はよく分かります。しかし今言ったように、多くの大衆はそれを繰り返し指摘され、場合によっては指弾、非難されると、今言ったような植物的な反応が出てくるだけに、私はもう少し、アメリカの議会、メディアは中国や韓国と同じパターン、同じ発想、同じスタイルで日本にそういう指摘、指弾をしない方がいいのではないかと。これが続くと、私は今の安倍政権だろうが、次の麻生政権だろうが、何政権であってもですね、少しずつそういう、まあ、右左でいうと右に触れていく日本が全体的に、心配を感じるので、実はそういう質問を受けること自体、私はですね、あまり、ウェルカムではないです。
Of course I know that how United States understands this issue is different from the way that China or South and North Korea, or I guess more broadly Japan's Asian neighbors, understands this issue. So I understand that the United States, when it talks about this issue, has the intention of encouraging Japan to do a better job in explaining the complexity of this issue. However, if Japan gets that kind of, I guess, coaching, if you will, repeatedly, and being criticized for it repeatedly, Japanese public will have this very emotional, on-the-spot reaction. So my sense is that it will not be too wise for American Congress or American media to talk these issues in the same from the same angle that Chinese or Korean takes this issue. Because if this continues, if Mr. Abe's government continues, or whoever takes over Mr. Abe, whether that might be Mr. Aso or someone else, I fear that the Japanese public will begin to tilt toward right. So I don't particularly welcome this this the very nature of this question that was just presented to me.
セプテンバー11以降、アメリカ国内が保守的になっていることはもちろん我々も承知していますが、日本が皆さんが考えている以上に、日本もアメリカ同様非常に保守的になっている。保守的になりつつ日本的になりつつある、あるいはそれは日本解雇と言った方がいいかもしれませんが、日本についてとやかく言われることに対してなんか無条件でリアクションを起こすような危険な兆候が少しずつ出てきている。私はそれを非常に恐れています。繰り返しになりますが、そこをスティミュレートするような心からの指摘であるにせよですね、もう少しうまくやってほしいなと個人的には思っています。
I understand that this country has become very has grown conservative after 9/11, but Japan also has grown conservative in the manner that United States has, and in a sense there are more growing sentiment in Japan that promptsvery emotional reaction to whatever the criticism that's directed against Japan, and there's a bit of a sign that trend may be growing. So although it is a well-intentioned criticism or well-intentioned statement, I do hope that it can be done in a little bit more nuanced way.
The difficulty, Toshikawa-san, is that the Honda resolution is not being sponsored by conservatives, it's sponsored by liberals, and conservatives are finding it very difficult to defend Japan. So I fear this, we have friends here from the Congressional Research Service taking careful notes, but I'm afraid this issue is not going to go away so easily. Very interesting, great insights. We'll end here. You can corner Toshikawa-san for a few minutes after if you want to ask more questions, and his speech or his essay is out front. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your attention.